Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Elevated Places with Dr. Ava Muhammad. Dr. Ava is a gifted attorney, researcher, lecturer, and author of 5 books. She received her Juris Doctorate from Georgetown University in Washington, D.C., and is a member of the New York Bar Association. Dr. Ava has been featured in Essence magazine many times and was named by Essence as being one of America's most powerful black women. Join Dr. Ava every Thursday evening on Elevated Places, where you will hear a message that will provide you with the tools needed to repair and uplift the spirit, moral character, and living condition of the black man and woman. Our call-in number is 347-324-5091, or visit us on our radio show page at blogtalkradio.com/elevatedplaces. And now, here is your host, Dr. Ava Muhammad.
Welcome to Elevated Places. I am your host, Ava Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum. Peace be unto you. Today is March the 14th, 2013, and we are live on blogtalkradio.com/elevatedplaces. blogtalkradio.com/elevatedplaces. This is a talk show that is growing by leaps and bounds, and the reason it's growing at such a rapid pace is the brilliance and the participation of our callers. So in addition to those of you that want to log in and listen, you can also call us and listen or join in the discussion. Area code 347-324-5091. Area code 347-324-5091. Now, of course, I know you can detect a little hoarseness. I'm getting over a cold that I got hit with in the wake of Savior's Day and all of the Malcolm lectures, etc. But I have recovered sufficiently to come on tonight because I am backed up, supported by my partner, my co-host, our Elevated Places traveler, Brother Terrence Muhammad. Brother Terrence, it is such a pleasure, as always, to be joined by you on Elevated Places. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, man. It's a pleasure and a wonder that you're back. And, we'll hold it down for you, so don't strain yourself.
Yes, sir. I'm going to allow that to happen, and I'll tell you, I did listen to last week's show, which was very powerful. It actually was a sequel to our live Savior's Day broadcast on building sustainable righteous communities, with Minister Farrakhan having presented now the economic blueprint of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. It is now time for us to move out seriously and begin to contemplate the development of residential communities that consist of those who think and believe as we do, who respect our common history and common ancestry as black people, and who wish to live a civilized existence no matter what you call your religion. And I thought that you and Dr. Ridgely, student minister Robert Muhammad, who has a degree, master's in urban planning, is working on his doctorate, and of course home builder, Alexander Muhammad, is one of the 300 recognized in the USA as a master builder. That was very powerful, and I'm very grateful to all of you. And I do want to recognize Dr. Ridgely is also on the line, our Elevated Places contributor and agricultural economist, Dr. Ridgely Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum, Dr. Ridgely.
Well, alaikum salam, Minister Ava and Brother Terrence.
Well, the callers are queuing up already, and we have a really wonderful guest on the line tonight as well. who's going to share some very relevant and important information about Minister Farrakhan as he continues to move in the wake of Savior's Day. And so, Brother Terrence, I'm going to ask you to give us news from around the nation at this point, which is both national and international. By the way, I see that they have selected a new pope.
Ah, you just took my thunder.
I'm sorry. You go right ahead.
Yes, you know, because I was going to start off with there's sighting of white smoke, white smoke, white smoke.
Yes,
has
white
been
smoke.
White
yes.
smoke. And as we see in the funny story, as they say, the first Latin pope, but he was born of Italian parents. So that's the very interesting that an Italian-Latin pope has been chosen from Argentina. So that's going to be interesting and waiting to see what happens. And everybody in Facebook land was wondering if there was going to be a black pope and a black president. And if that had happened, I would have been going under my bomb shelter and running away because you know it would have been the end. But so we do know that they have selected a new pope. Also, we, you know, at this moment, and we rarely do this, but we want to be thoughtful, and prayers go out to the family of the young, well, the six-month-year-old baby.
6 months, yes.
Yeah,
six-month-year-old
baby that got killed the other day in Chicago, and one of our brothers in the nation, Brother Ruben, who passed away, and all of the believers that we have lost over the years, in the last couple of months, makes us be mindful to take our lives as what it is and precious, and never look to tomorrow, but be thankful for today. And we are in the grace of God, and we are being mindful and knowing that we are in these last days and troubled times. So be very careful while we out here in this world. So
yes.
Prayers go out to the families of those that have lost, and all of these senseless killings that, as we know, are going on national all the way around the world. And as we said, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, we are so honored and thankful to have this beautiful man in our midst who will soon be 80 years old, and he's out running, out moving, out speaking, out talking national youth leaders and civil rights leaders all across the globe as he perform Savior's Day monumental lecture February 24th and turned around that next Friday and went to St. Sabinum, and then that next day went to Grand Rapids and then got on a plane and went down to the Caribbean and taught extensively, not just one day, not
That's
two
right.
days, but 6 days as he traveled in the wonderful country of Belize. And it was a wonderful time, him going in to a lot of different places where we will hear about later. And once he comes back, when he left Belize and went to the Bahamas, Nassau, Bahamas, and he's not going for vacation, he's not going for the sun, he's actually going to connect those people to do something for itself, as he taught at Savior's Day on the economic blueprint of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And once he returns back to the United States, he's not stopping. He is not stopping. He's going straight to Tuskegee, Alabama,
yeah.
where he will be there on Thursday night, the 21st, where he will be there from 6 to 9 in a chapel, and he will be. They will be showing the documentary of his World Friendship Tour and taking questions and answers. And then the next day, on the 22nd, he's giving a keynote lecture on the University of Tuskegee. And then he comes back to Chicago on the 30th with Dr. Watkins and does another powerful lecture, and the minister is not stopping. And neither is his national spokesperson. She is not stopping. As we saw the two powerful lectures that she did prior to Savior's Day on Malcolm X in a movie, Betty and Coretta, she's also speaking tomorrow night for this conference that's going on of the National Association of Black Political Scientists. And she's talking about building a coalition. Yes, I'm talking about our wonderful sister, Dr. Ava Muhammad, will be speaking tomorrow night in Chicago. And wait for the Mother's Day. She will be going down to sunny Florida where she will also be keynoting down in Florida, and you can learn more about that as you go to avaspeaks.com to get her Twitter page, Facebook page, and all the other things that you can get from her. So we have a lot of things going on, and I didn't touch on everything, but we do know that there are continuous things going across the nation. We want to pay attention as the nation changes and watch it as the minister. We want to make sure that we stay focused on him during this particular time.
Right. So we have a very special guest on the line. And, well, she's a special guest, but yet and still, she's a powerful and well-known sister in the Nation of Islam who has a well-earned reputation as a soldier and role model. An incredible example of discipline. And, of course, we know that hopefully she'll talk a little bit about that. There's two things. Number one is the minister's travels in the Caribbean, but also this sister, as was noted by Brother Jeffrey Muhammad during the drill competition, is actually in our Drill Hall of Fame. And she trained and taught both myself and Sister Regional Captain Charlene Muhammad when I was over the Southern Regional, Southern Region back in, I think it was 1999, Savior's Day, where we made a brief appearance with the Atlanta Vanguard, who is a championship drill team. And so she has continued to evolve over the years, and now she serves as the Southern Regional Student Captain of the MGT, GCC, and Vanguard of the Nation of Islam. And she is joining us on the line right now, Sister LaShonda Muhammad.
Assalamu
alaikum, Sister LaShonda.
Wa alaikum salam, Sister Minister Ava. How are you, ma'am?
Well, I'm doing well. I feel better than I sound. I'll put it like
yes,
that.
Yes, ma'am. Wonderful.
Yes, ma'am. And it's great to have you on the program. You have been for so long such an outstanding role model for the women of the nation. And, of course, it's more than a motto that a nation can rise no higher than its woman. It's a universal truth.
Yes.
And if the black nation is to get up, it's only going to happen because of the MGT and the Vanguard. And so,
right.
First of all, you know, congratulations from all of us to you for not only past years, but this year's drill competition was phenomenal.
Thank you.
And, you know,
much.
It has grown. And I'll tell you, Sister Captain, we talked about it prior to Savior's Day, and it's only second to the minister's message.
Yes, ma'am.
In terms of attraction and in terms of satisfaction, spiritual, mental, physical satisfaction that it provides to the believers. And, you know, to see black people move in unison, first of all, they look so good. They're in shape, they're disciplined,
yes.
And then to see them respond instantly to
yes.
orders from another black person.
That's right, that's right.
Yes, ma'am.
It's phenomenal.
Dr. Ava,
yes, ma'am.
I just wanted to jump in here. Yeah,
sure.
I just wanted to jump
yes,
in here
sir.
Before she gets into her spiel. But, you know, I got to give mad shots out to that sister because, you know, in a sense, I grew up with a lot of you all in the nation, and I just remember Sister LaShonda back in the early 90s, and she's always represented the MGT and the Vanguard so strongly, not in just in her uniform as a soldier, but even after she came out of her uniform, even her casual dress, she was always representing that elegance and that form and poise of a strong sister, actually a diva, if you want to call it, that commanded respect. And I got to tell about something that she may not remember. It was either 96 or 97
at
a National Nation of Islam Student Association meeting, and we was on a break. And I think we went outside with Brother Jamil. I think it was Brother Jamil. But we went outside the door, and not only can she command the women, but she even knows how to bebop. And we had a little rap session outside. So I'm saying all that is that in the nation, we have soldiers, but we know how to connect to the people. So
That's right, wonderful
sister, and, you know, so she has love and she has the highest respect, because, you know, when she comes on the scene, that stuff is locked down. And if it's not locked down, you better get straight, because it will get ready to get locked down. And we do thank you for the drill competition, because people do
not know
the work, the hassle, the stress
that goes in
behind the scenes to get it right, all of the difficult things that happen. Because these drill competitions are people that compete, they bring a crew of people, so you are managing
all of that.
And luckily that we are striving to be civil in the Nation of Islam, because the drill competition is almost like a concert where people will break down doors to get in.
Yes.
And it was that packed and it was that serious that people wanted to get in that drill competition. They was packed in the overflow rooms. They were packed wherever they could see it. Even on the internet, they was packed.
That's right.
Just
That's
to get
right.
into the drill competition. And she was the point person to make this happen. So we give you kudos for that.
Thank
because
you.
It is not an easy task. And then on the next, they have to secure God's servant to the world, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan.
Thank you so
just
much.
Put that out there.
Just to put that out there. Thank you so much. I want to first just say thank you, Sister Minister Ava, for just having me on the show and just being a wonderful and outstanding example of a Muslim woman, warrior, freedom fighter, and soldier for our people. You represent the Muslim woman very well, and we are all very appreciative. In fact, while I was over in Belize, a young Belizean woman came up to me and asked if you were a part of the delegation. And
wow.
I shared with her that you were not there, and she was so disappointed. And she
wow.
said to me, I'm so inspired by her that I bought her a gift, and I wanted to know if you could get her a, give her this gift. And I said, I would be more than honored to do so. So your gift is in the mail from that Belizean sister. Yes, ma'am. So you are worldwide, your impact, and your influence, and we're grateful. And very thankful for all the work that you do. So thank you, and thank you to your wonderful staff. They were all just so wonderful, Brother Terrence and Sister Rona. So I appreciate you all. I'm honored to be on.
Yes, ma'am. Oh, that is awesome. Well, look, we want to talk about Belize, and we want to talk about the drill. I just want to ask a question for the listeners about the drill, because, you know, we know it's a beautiful thing to watch, and it touches the soul, because we're people of rhythm, but also, you know, it's such a critical part of the process of becoming God. And you know, I'm one of these people that believe strongly, you know, we're always talking about get the youth, that if we could expand the drill out into the community and increase its frequency, and it was either Student Minister Ishmael or Student Secretary Burry, one of them mentioned the other night the Believers meeting about more cities,
mm-hmm.
you know, some of the smaller cities beginning to participate, because I think that it would attract our youth, because they join these gangs because they want to be a part of something that's powerful.
That's
and exudes
right.
power. And I wanted to ask you to talk about that, and also, as Brother Terrence alluded to, the precision that
mm-hmm.
is involved, and how you all as judges, you know, how I don't even know how you do it. How do
mm-hmm.
you determine the who is better? Because I can barely tell. You know, they all look A1 superior to us out in the audience. But, you know, what is the process, and what does it do for us as believers, you know, to be involved in the drill competition, whether we're drilling, judging, supporting other believers who are doing it?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
it, you know, drill is so important in our development. Drill is a key tool that is used in the reformation process of the black man, because it instills in us that type of discipline that's necessary for us to be able to be obedient to God. And so drill is a very spiritual process. Yes, you see physical steps, but it is being in tune with the oneness of the DI who represents that voice of God. And so when you hear that DI say left or right, you want to be able to go in that direction as a symbolic a reference of when God tells us to do this, to go that way, that we in fact can do it and that we can in tune, put our bodies in tune and in harmony enough to hear not only God but God's servant on earth to be able to then receive that instruction and move out. And so the tool of drill is critical in that reformation process, because it really instills respect for authority, not just respect for any authority, but respect for black authority, to hear someone who have been taught about in this society as inferior, now being in a position of authority and giving an instruction, and that others would then hear that instruction and move out on it in accordance, in unity, representing what we will look like when we all submit as a people to God's divine word. And so it really is a very necessary tool. And we talked about some of the additional cities. That is one of our goals this upcoming year, is to do more recruitment, because drill is so important that it needs to be in every nook and cranny, if you will, all throughout the United States of America and even broader. And so sometimes, of course, the regional cities and some of the bigger cities have more exposure to some of the techniques and tools and ways of drill. But this year we're going to reach out to a lot of other cities and groups and try to really encourage more team development and team recruitment so that we can get this message of self-discipline, self-mastery throughout the country. So that is one of our main goals for this upcoming year's drill competition.
Oh, that is beautiful, because I can see so many mothers and fathers and grandparents of young black children being so attracted to the idea of their child, you know, becoming part of this. And sometimes that can be the vehicle through which they come into the belief.
That's right. Is
through the child, you know, because if the child accepts Islam and becomes part of that team, as we move out and take the, because this is a way of life, and you just gave so much more depth to understanding why drill is not, it's not just an extracurricular activity. It is a crucial component of all of our development, you know, as believers. And, you know, when you all, okay, 3 minutes is amazing. What is it that you look for when you're judging the competition?
The drill competition is broken up into categories. And so the judges are looking for military posture. How does the team exude that standard bearer of the posture that a soldier should have, a soldier that is ready for war? What posture should they have? They're looking at military posture. They're looking at originality. They're looking to see, are there any kind of moves that you are able to creatively change while keeping the standard, but being able to advance it and take it to the next level? If you're looking at originality, you don't want to see a lot of copycat moves from other cities. You want to see originality there. You want to look at also appearance. Appearance is important. You know, how well does the uniform fit and look for, you know, on the soldiers and on the drill team? You also want to look at creativity is another area. That I don't know if I mentioned creativity, but creativity in coming up with new steps and different steps as well. So they take all of these categories, and we have a point system. So each category has about 10 points with it, 10 being the highest and 1 being the least. And so then they take those categories, and they based upon not just a personal feel, but these are judges who are chosen based upon their knowledge of drill, based upon their experience in national drill competitions or in the national format, and they know what is the standard of what the Nation of Islam promote, what is the Nation of Islam standard, and based on that, they then will give their judgment on that. And so, and that helps to keep it even across the board. So that way it's not based on what city. And I want to mention this, too, because I think it's very important for all the listeners to understand and grasp this concept, that one of the beautiful things about the Nation of Islam judges in the drill competition is that these are believers first and foremost. And so really at the end of the day, it's not about a particular city, although we naturally will root for the city that we live in or the city that we affectionately call home or we have family members there. But at the end of the day, it is about being able to recognize a team or a group that is able to come together with the base teachings of Islam, utilize that, incorporate that into their spirit, into their energy, and into their steps, and then based off of that, move out and exercise and show forth that great exercise of the God. And so those judges are trained to look at what are the standards of the Nation of Islam's drill, and then based on that, they choose and select the winner. And so although it is hard, but they have done a wonderful job for the last 3 years that I've been coordinating the drill really just coming up with the top winners of the drill competition.
Yes, ma'am. And you know what I love about it, which you just alluded to, when you talked about the fact that at the end of the day we're all believers. One thing that has always distressed me and annoyed me about black people, even though I understand the source of it, is this need to be approved by white people. Mm-hmm. And I think that one reason the drill is so popular is because it's a legitimate human need to be recognized.
Mm-hmm.
But we have to learn to get satisfaction from recognition of our own people.
That's right.
And to be in that ballroom this past Savior's Day, packed to the rafters, and of course other areas were packed, and clearly,
yes,
which I have to, you know, I hate to say I told you so, executive council members, and they know now that,
yes,
it was time to move to an arena. We're actually ready,
right,
for an arena. We could have easily been, and we will be next year.
That's right.
When we go to the McCormick, Allah willing, you know, we've got to go into an arena because we're pushing up really on 8,000-9,000 people.
That's right.
And that's among us. And I think if we begin to promote this out in the community,
yes,
because it can be a competition among us, but an exhibition,
that's
to
right,
the youth of the community, to see all the way down to see mature men and women who,
yes,
are not sitting in a wheelchair or breathing through tubes, but they're up there and they are doing face moves and drilling. And then
that's
to see,
right,
itty-bitty preschoolers,
mm-hmm,
just move with that precision and that response. But what I love most about it is the soul satisfaction of the recognition of each other. I don't need white people to tell me I'm the best. As long
That's
as
right.
my people think I'm the best. And it becomes a win-win situation.
Mm.
Yes, yeah, so we have a whole lot of callers on. And we are at 347-324-5091, 347-324-5091. And I want to go ahead, Sister Captain, and move to, because you, as you just noted, you travel to Belize with the minister. And
yes,
I know just watching that message that he delivered this past weekend,
yes,
it was phenomenal. So I can't even
it
imagine
really
what it was like to be there. So if you can give us a little insight into that trip.
Yes, ma'am. Well, you know, it's very humbling to be a part of a process that, you know, you feel like you're literally walking through the scriptures to see the love that the minister has for his people. One of the presenters introduced him as a humanitarian that really loves people. And at that moment, that really resonated with me, because when you see the minister with this grueling schedule overseas, it's a lot different from the States. I mean, the minister will do sometimes 6 and 7 meetings in one day. Will go back to the room to eat very quickly, only to go back out. And he teaches with the same kind of vigor when he's in the big arenas like he was in Bird's Eye, over 1,000 people there. He'll come right back to a small informal setting with 5 people and will teach just as hard. And so his spirit and the way the Belizean people responded to him, just going through the streets with the motorcade, and the way the people were running behind the motorcade and pointing their fingers, there's Farrakhan. I mean, just the excitement that was building there in Belize, it was really wonderful. And one of my favorite moments was there in the Belizean prison when the minister went in. And I remember when I first went into the prison, it was really tight and very tense, and the people were looking at us kind of strange, and it was just a strange aura in the room. And when the minister first came on, he started to speak, and maybe about 15 minutes into it, I mean, that aura, you could see it literally, a burden lift off of the prisoners from what the minister shared with them of how important their life is from that point of receiving knowledge and how they are to move forward from that point. And the minister opened up for question and answer and asked a Belizean woman, you know, why was she there in prison, and she had murdered her husband. And he inquired more, you know, why did you murder your husband? And she gave out this almost belch of, because he raped my baby. And to see the minister's expression when this woman shared her pain and how she was serving a life sentence, and just the injustice of, you know, her having to go through what she went through in trying to protect her child. And the minister's spirit was just so moved by her and another young man that had been in prison since he was 15 years old, and he had been in there for, I believe, close to 20 years. And, I mean, it was literally, you saw a metamorphosis take place physically right in front of my very own eyes. I saw a burden being lifted off, and I thought to myself, this is why this man's work is so important, because here I'm just this little black girl from Atlanta, Georgia, who did not have the weight and responsibility of the plight of a people who are just down and out and oppressed throughout the entire world. And here now I'm with this man who is going to take this kind of pressure off of them. It is something that really is a miracle to see and to witness. And we were just blessed, all of those of us who were there, each move, every time he went to some event, some meeting, I mean, he was moving. You saw the impact of his word, and this main thing that he was trying to do, which is my favorite part of Message to the Black Man, where the Honorable Elijah Muhammad teaches us about the unification of the so-called Negro. That was the whole purpose of the minister. When he went over there, he was saying to all the Caribbean islands, unite, come together. If these are in fact Christian nations, then I want to see you all overcome the petty differences that keep us apart. Come together and unite. And I really saw from some of the grassroots organizations their energy. In fact, one of the sisters that was over there, Sister Ava, I had mentioned you to her, Sister Yaya, who is over the Belizean Black African. They have a big committee that they meet once a year, and they wanted some of us, some of the sisters in the nation, to come over and speak with them. And so I told her I would give your information to her, because they're just reaching out. They were so eager to know what we had to offer them as women in Islam as well. So it was just a wonderful and a powerful experience, and I'm still just reeling off of the excitement. And I know,
I hear it. Being,
yes, it was just that exciting. It really was.
We're talking to Sister Student Regional Captain LaShonda Muhammad, who is just returning back from joining Minister Farrakhan on part of his tour of the Caribbean. And this is profound, Sister LaShonda, what you're sharing. And I know watching, I think it was Friday night, when he spoke at that event, and I literally could see the people change.
Yeah.
They were almost like in a hypnotic daze of like the Walking Dead. Mm-hmm. And he just stayed at it. He just kept coming, and he broke through, you know, like the sun breaking through the night. And his knowledge of beliefs itself, of the land, you know, when he talked to them about, and I know you have to appreciate that, Dr. Ridgely, he talked about what precisely the land there is capable of producing. You know, mm-hmm. and he talked about why Caucasian people are in the Caribbean, what they're taking out of it, and our complete disconnect from the source of what we eat. And, you know, when you look at our people, and if it weren't for him, we wouldn't be doing that. But they look the same as we all look the same, you know, everywhere that one travels. And he brings to the forefront, and I see why he's considered so dangerous by the enemy, because he brings to the forefront how false the disconnect is that they have manufactured. And I loved his teaching on Hugo Chavez, you know, because I think that was at right about the same time Chavez had passed away. But that was just beautiful.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yes, ma'am. And so we are looking now. Now, he's in the Bahamas now.
That's correct.
And as
he's actually in Bimini now.
He's in Bimini.
NASA.
Okay. Oh my goodness.
Yes.
Okay, and he's expected to travel from there. And as Brother Terrence pointed out, shortly he's expected in Alabama. He's going to pick up at the HBCUs again. And, of course, I don't know if you all are aware of it, but I think it's UIC was where he was scheduled to speak with Boyce Watkins.
Right.
Dr. Boyce Watkins. And they have, Boyce Watkins has publicly announced, I think on Facebook, that they were disinvited from the University of Illinois at Chicago.
That's true, but he's also said he's going to get another venue, so my understanding is it's still on.
Oh, yeah, the event is still on, and they just have to locate another venue, but the relentless effort of the enemy to prevent any communication between the minister and the people, and the minister and other black minds, should indicator to us of who he is.
That's right.
Well, you know, this need of them to keep us apart from someone who's talking about economic development and unity shows you why they are in power, and why wherever you go, you find black people, like down in Belize, in the same situation. White people can come from another country and set up business there and take over because they have an infrastructure to support them. So if we would go and get some land in Belize, for instance, my big question would be, where are we going to sell our products? You know, because we don't have grocery stores, and the minister mentioned this at Savior's Day. We don't have grocery stores. Integration, we lost our restaurants, our schools. Now you're in HBCUs, we're losing power there. So where are we going to sell a product? We can't, you know, I don't feel like trying to sell to McDonald's. That's where most black folks are at, it seems.
Exactly.
So we really, the problem, you know, it's worldwide with us, because the enemy is worldwide with us, and he uses us, and now he's abusing us, and he's killing us through the food. So we're really going to have to make up our minds of what we're going to do, whether we're going to follow the minister or whether we're just going to drop dead in America.
That's right.
Yeah, because that what you're talking into is very key, and the minister was addressing that as well in Belize, and why he's making such an effort to connect the countries that are in proximity to each other, and telling them to just put away this nonsense, these issues that they manufacture to be against one another, and being satisfied to have a flag over a few hundred thousand people, or even a couple of million people. But see, the reason the Jews control everything is they control that distribution network. You're right.
That's right.
And in fact, the distribution is so critical, as you have noted in the research team, that if you don't even have to be the producer.
That's right.
If you control the distribution.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Like I heard an artist say, anybody can go in a studio and make a cut a record. You know, you can go in the studio and cut the record, but it's getting your record out. It's whoever is controlling that distribution network that is going to determine, you know, whether or not you succeed or fail.
And, you know, and one of the things that Dot just brought out, and just as you just said, distribution, you know, a lot of young people are getting into the music business and they are, you know, getting their own labels. But like you said, but if they can't get the music out, then they're stumped. So, you know, the internet is a way now for, you know, when they invented ringtones and YouTube, and they're able to get more stuff out. But, you know, there's always this enemy trying to manipulate and control that. And I think that's the thing that Dr. Ridgely was saying, and as I was in a meeting today about gardening, home gardening, you know, one of the things, as we grow the food, then there has to be a process of teaching people how to can food and actually cook. So even if you grow food, if people don't even want to cook food, then you have just food just left on the land. So there's a whole teaching that has to be done. And I think one last point I was going to bring up about the minister and Dr. Boykins, you know, it may be a time for him to go back to Reverend Wright's church, because Dr. Boykins was there a couple of months ago for a fatherhood panel, and our good brother Reverend Wright was just down here preaching at a church, and he's good friends, and it'll be a good unity to go to a church where Reverend Wright used to be the pastor, and there's Reverend Moss, for them to go back to Chicago and start some unity there. That'll be a wonderful showing.
Yeah, that's an excellent idea, because historically, which he's been visiting churches as well in leadership, and because I'm thinking now to the Grand Rapids message that he delivered right after Savior's Day. But the black church once was historically the center of all black life.
Right.
And you all are right. There has to be really a massive propaganda campaign that accompanies the return to the land, because growing the food at a time when our people are so disconnected from the land, and as Brother Ishmael mentioned the other night, speaking in a high school earlier this week, and the students at that high school, the black students, were asking questions like, why is Africa called the motherland? One student asked, how did we get here?
Right.
Wow.
How did we get here? Because the history has been revised and bleached.
That's right.
Year after year, without interruption by the black community, because even back when I was in school, it was like two pages on slavery. Okay,
mm-hmm.
You were learning about yourself at home if your parents were conscious. Then it went down to one page, then a paragraph. Now it's like a sentence. And so now they're moving toward a point in time when our people, and this is why Lil Wayne was able to make a record, make a song, where he denigrated Emmett Till. See, that's ignorance.
That's right.
That's a complete lack of knowledge of self and kind, because your knowledge is so superficial. This is just a name you've heard, and it rhymes with something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you're talking about he got beat, and you're talking about actually beating a woman.
Right.
In the manner in which Emmett Till got beat. So it's it's like hitting rock bottom. You know, where the devil has us so in his grip now that we're on complete self-destruct. So he's attacking the black woman and talking about his brother's death because he doesn't comprehend lynching.
That's right.
And, you know, the torture of Jim Crow. And so we're so disconnected now. You've got these students out here walking around. They don't even realize we were ever slaves.
Right.
See? So then what happens is, if you don't know our history and you look at us at the bottom of society, then what happens? You attribute our position to inferiority.
That's right.
That's right. You know, not to necessarily switch the subject, Dr. Ava, I do want to ask a question that actually deals with the how the people in Belize, as I saw some pictures of the MGT in their uniform, how were you all received? Because not only how did the people receive the women, you know, as we're talking about the disrespect from Lil Wayne, as what he said about how he would deal with sister and that whole piece, but how did the women, how did the men and women receive you all? Because one thing I just came to my mind is the fact that that many MGT and FOI was in a prison to point that you were allowed that freedom in that country to go into a prison. How did they receive the MGT? Because the pictures I saw, it actually seemed like we was at a mosque meeting where y'all relaxed, but you was actually inside of a prison. How was that?
That's right. You know, sometimes we take for granted, Brother Terrence, who we are, what we represent, you know, especially in the States. You know, we've become more of a common fixture. But when you go overseas and you're not the norm, the way that people respond to you reminds you of how special you are. And so they were so receptive of us that at a certain point, our role in the delegation, which was primarily, of course, security, became a more representational role, if you will, where the minister actually called one of the sisters up there in the prison to share with the women the importance of a woman who knows herself, a woman who will clothe herself in the spirit and the righteousness of God, and he brought her to the forefront to show forth to the world. And then after that particular event, many other smaller sets, he did the same thing. And so we became more so a representation of what God's kingdom can look like if we come to that word. And so they were so receptive. When we went to the masjid, the children sang songs to the minister and welcomed him. They were so interested in us. The children were flocking around us. They were just, I mean, when I say the excitement, it reminded me that, you know what, you are special, that God literally came to save you. And this is why the people are responding to you that way, because they see and feel God's presence. And so that's something that we can't take for granted in the States, because we become more of a common, you know, place here in the States. So the reception was very, very well received, very received.
And I bring that point, and to bring this to a tie, the reason why I bring that up, Sister Ava, as you were speaking about the youth and what they did not know, and we started off with the drill, and this reminded me of the minister going to, I think it was a church last year, where he brought up the FOI and he brought up the MGT that church in Chicago and said, this is what the teachings produce.
Right.
So there was a look at what is produced by How to Eat to Live. Now, what if we also brought the rest of the world in a theater or arena and say, this is what we produce in the form of discipline in our children, our men, and our women.
That's
in
right.
the form of drill. This is how the women of God are seen when they are produced or introduced to other countries of the world. We are now on the world stage, and in the spring, not only are the FOR returning, and they never left, back in full throttle to the streets, but now the women of God. So it's a representation that we have a responsibility, because as you said, why are these children asking a question? What is the motherland? Where is the motherland? So this is almost the basis of our discussion, and what you have set up, Dr. Ava, separation is the best and only solution. Because
that's right.
That speech by Brother Ishmael, that or that talk where the children did not know, then we know that they're not getting taught. And as the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, the messenger, has taught us, that our enemy, you know, why, if they won't treat us right, how do we expect them to teach us right? And that's why we have to have our own, or we will continue to see more of that.
Yes, sir. Well, we're coming up on the hour. We're going to be taking a commercial break. And before we let you go, Sister Captain, well, first of all, thank you for the enlightenment this evening. But getting back to this point about exposing the people, you know, what Brother Terrence is saying, you know, the word heaven, I can't recall it, but the word for heaven in Arabic actually means structure.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we're taught that the first thing Allah created was motion, and the second thing was order.
Order, that's right.
And, you know, one of the reasons we are rejected by every society around the world, we as black people in America, and rejected by ourselves, is we are so out of order.
That's right.
Our behavior is reprehensible, and it's getting worse. Brother Terrence, you talked about the six-month-old baby who was killed the other day. Her father's a gangbanger. You know, he knows the life that he lives. And yet, he also, from what I'm hearing, he was robbing drug dealers, okay? He's been in and out of prison. He's been arrested over 30 times. He knows his lifestyle. And yet, he's out in the night with this child. So the point is this. I said, you know, at least in the mafia, there are rules and protocol. You know, you don't extend the wars to women and children. This is why when they have wars, they call it going to the mattress. They get away from where they live, and they go somewhere and hole up in these beat up places because they have enough respect for their women and children to do that. This Catholic Church, now here they are saturated in scandal. Just saturated, just one big giant child predator. But they're all out in front of the public, picking their pope. But they're taking care of their business. They have structure, and they have order. So the wicked are actually still able to dominate over us because of the fact that we are, even though we're the truly righteous of the earth, but we're so out of order.
That's right.
You know, yeah. And that is why we're thankful to you, Sister Captain LaShonda, and all of those that make this drill competition happen. And it is, as Brother Terrence said earlier, it is no simple matter. I remember working with you when you had Sister Charlene and I. Just
yes.
That little few seconds we were in there, that took work. to achieve the proper level of precision to take home that prize. But I love what you have shared with us this evening, and may Allah continue to bless you and your family with much success. And definitely look forward to seeing you soon. And we're going to go to a brief break, and then when we come back, we're going to close out on our soapbox of separation. And don't forget, callers, 347-324-5091. We'll be right back.
The God, through the prophet, tells the people again and again, and we've been told today, most of us are not going to see that God has really come until this country has been brought low. Until the white man has lost his power, then most of us will see. The lucky ones will see spiritually prior to that, and those are the ones who shall be hidden in the days of God's wrath, which will break out not long after Minister Farrakhan departs. And that's very soon.
For more information, or to order authorized lectures and seminars by Brother Jibril Muhammad, call 719-581-2136. That number again is 719-581-2136. Or email bjmhmd2000@earthlink.net.
Assalamu alaikum and welcome back to Elevated Places. As you all know, we are standing on the brink of the great exodus that was prophesied in both Bible and Quran. And before we go to the phones, Dr. Ridgely, I think you have an announcement to share with us. We all know, of course, of the great propaganda hate campaign that's being waged against the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan because he is in the seat of the leader of the Nation of Islam. And so what we experienced with this little TV movie was just the tip of the iceberg, and we don't want to sit around and wait for the next thing next rock to be thrown at us. Dr. Ridgely, let's talk about what's going on right now.
Okay. Well, we're up to, you know, we put a petition up on change.org, and we really appreciate the people who signed on so far, 1,300 signatures so far, and this petition is to ask the Obama administration to open up the files on the assassination of Malcolm X, because, as you know, before, back in the 60s and 70s, they accused Honorable Elijah Muhammad of giving the order to kill Malcolm, but that was never proven. Honorable Elijah Muhammad was never brought into court. There was never anything brought forth. And then all of a sudden, in the 90s, early 90s, it began to shift towards trying to blame Minister Farrakhan or having to do something with it. So it seems like they're going to continue to use this murder, which the government does not want to solve, because they can use it when they want to besmirch anybody who is sitting in the seat of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and teaching the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, because that teaching will, in fact, produce the saints that will become marching in as the drill competition exemplifies, and as Captain LaShonda, when she was in Belize, when those sisters come in with their garments, everybody realized those are the saints that are coming marching in. And so they got to stop this, because they are, in fact, the enemies of God, and they must stop the rise of a Messiah that's going to end this devil's world rulership over people. So we have put forth this petition, and we want the people to go to change.org and sign on this petition to open up the files. And I find it very interesting that the comments to the people who have signed on to the petition is the education process in itself. If people will take the time, if you sign on to the petition or you have not, to go and look at the comments of the people who have signed the petition, because people realize the importance of this issue. I also want to read one of them I found very interesting, just came today. The person said, The reason why they signed the petition is, I want the truth on how America really feels about us. Now, that's heavy.
Really,
this person
is.
Understands that the way the government is handling this information is letting us know what they really feel about us, and that is that we are nothing but things to be used and abused and thrown away and then reused when they want to, because they have no intention of giving us the truth so that we can move on with our lives. They want us always in a box. And I'm going to read one more. This person says that this is important because all facts and evidence needs to be made substantial. This allowing slander of the innocent and expediting the prosecution of the perpetrators. So everyone realized the truth must come out, and we can't move forward if lies are continuing to pull up to besmirch the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan and those who are guiding the people aright. So please, you can go to change.org and look for the petition to open up the files, to release the files on Malcolm X. And you can also go to NRI.org, X-Files, to read more about the long history of the Nation of Islam bringing forth information and asking for the files to be opened up. Minister Farrakhan has asked repeatedly that the files be opened up because he has nothing to hide, but the government has plenty to hide.
Yes, sir. Thank you for that. Now we're going to go to the phones. We have Rachel. She has a question. Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to Elevated Places, Sister Rachel.
Yes, ma'am. Assalamu alaikum, family. This question is for Dr. Wrigley.
Yes.
I would like to know if I can take the plants out of my flower pot and use that same soil to grow food in those pots.
Yes, ma'am. As long as you can make sure you get in the place that it gets the right type of sunlight for that particular crop that you're trying to grow. A lot of times plants, house plants, are plants that don't require a whole lot of sunlight, but if you're trying to grow some food crops, you must be sure that you place it in a proper position. And then, depending on how big the flower pot is, the roots may outgrow the flower pot. So you still got to pick the right crop.
Oh, okay. Well, another question. I live in New York City. Should I put in there to grow?
Well, we have a Ministry of Agriculture that has a conference called every Saturday night.
Okay.
And we have a Farming and Gardening Committee. So if you would go to NRIMOA.com, and look up the resource list, the Ministry of Agriculture resource list.
Yes, sir.
And find someone in your area, in the New York City area, and call them up, because that's what they're there for. We are the new extension service. Okay?
All right. Thank you so much.
We're real close, and they can bring you up to snuff of what we're doing and get you involved in the Farming and Gardening Committee.
All right.
Awesome.
Thank you so much, Mr. Rick.
Thank you for the question. Great question, great answer. Okay, we have Brother Michael also has a question. Let's see if we can get his mic open. Assalamu alaikum, Brother Michael. Welcome to Elevated Places.
Walaikum salam. Thank you, sis. How are you today?
Wonderful. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. Beautiful program. I have two questions. I don't want to get too deep into them, but simply the first one is to the panel, and I would like to ask, what is the importance of the Nation of Islam, the believers, the followers of the minister, particularly whether they be in the nation or without, of creating our own reality? You all spoke about the drill competition and being online and people packing the house and representing, you know, the discipline of the FOI and MGT, and also how I noticed that, you know, you all, we added the martial arts element, we added the performances in between the drill competition and whatnot. And we went to the farm last year with Dr. Ridgely, and we for Founders Day, and he spoke about how, you know, before we can talk about doing things on a larger level with the crops, we should develop our own products within our own cities. And as he travels throughout the nation, you know, we can exchange and do business or whatnot. But just, you know, what is the importance of us doing that? And the second one is, like, how do we reach the proper platform in the world to influence the people the way the minister does it, to help the minister even, because, you know, we're talking about rap and we're talking about this, this piece with Lil Wayne and the music. Me being an artist myself, you know, how do we get to that platform in the world to influence the people so that we can begin to replace and be the examples that we need to be as believers in God.
Awesome. Panel,
okay.
Who would like to step
you take
out?
The doc, you take the agriculture and I take the music.
Why, you trying to say I can't sing?
We're not going to go there.
Okay, all right. But, you know, though the importance of, you know, culture, you know, agriculture, part of that word is culture. And by us, the drill competition, the martial arts, the discipline, then you go to what we are trained in, the FOI and the MGT, in terms of doing for self and cooking and sewing. You're developing a new culture. And in economics, culture determines value, you know, determines choices and value. And value determines economics. So if somebody is willing to pay $200 for Michael Jordan shoes but only $35 for Stephon Marbury shoes, then, you know, it's kind of hard for you to make a living if nobody wants your product. And so the media, the mass media, controls the culture of the people and determines the value of things, so that we trying to do business with each other, we're hampered by the concept that this society puts on our products. So we must be able to get our idea to the people, because the idea is going to determine whether our products can be sold. And if our products can't be sold, then our businesses won't work, the land won't work. It all begins with the mind first. And now Brother Terrence can deal with that music industry. But before he goes there, we have one man right now who can break through. That's the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. He can bring the people together, and he can talk to them. And it's power behind that. The rest of us have a hard time trying to get to the people because we don't have that power behind us, so we must get behind the one who does have the power so he can get that word out and break through and bust up the impediments to the rest of us being able to get our little words out.
So, you know, I would concur on two strong points that Dr. Ridgely said that are just very much fundamental. Media, and like you said, they have a grip on what is valuable because of what media has determined is value and what is culture. We have to break out of that. And also, the number one thing that he talked about, we honestly just have to follow the leader. And I say that, as Doc says, there are other people talking some of the things that the nation are talking, but they don't have the ability to bring the masses of people to him or to hear this message. So the thing I would say is follow the leader, number one. Number two is when the minister speaks and he brings people to the nation or to us, we have to be prepared to do the work of the words that he speak, and we have to be able to be qualified to do the things that he's talking about doing. So when he has gone on the college campuses, you have seen students change their majors so that they can actually conform to the words that he just spoke. But how many of us are doing that? So if he has said land will be the new stock markets or the ones that's going to actually make the money, and he's showing you where in a sense where the new bubble is. You know, if you would have known about Apple years ago on the internet, you would have got in on it because you knew there would be the next big thing. So the minister is that voice telling you what is going to be the next big thing, and people are preparing themselves, and we have to do the same. And on the music industry, you just have to continue to put out a good product. And Jasir Yates is one of the brothers that has been lecturing across the country. If you just follow him on Twitter or Facebook, he's all over the country putting out his music and talking on college campuses at different marches, because he has a program that says, stand in the music industry without selling your soul. So you have to work on your craft, and then you have to put your stuff out there, and you have to market yourself. But I think, you know, as far as where our people are, you got to also remember part of this conversation is separation. And those that will do are going to do. And Sister Ava said in one of the lectures, at some point we're going to have to do a poll. Who wants to stay and who wants to go? Not everybody is going to be in agriculture. Not everybody wants to separate. And not everybody is going to remove themselves from this world. They're going to continue to live under filth. You can't worry about what someone is going to choose. You have to continue to put out what you're going to put out. And people will eventually hear you if you just stand up. But the key point is continuing to follow the guidance of Minister Farrakhan.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And Brother Michael, thank you for the questions. Excellent. Two excellent questions. Thank you so much.
Yes, ma'am. You're welcome.
Okay, and I'm going to go to, because now the time is quickly running away. And I would add this to Brother Michael, that what empowered the minister more than anything, because remember, he came to the messenger as a young brother, 22 years old.
Right.
You know, and I think that that's very important for us to remember, is that he was barely out of youth himself. Mm-hmm. He was a rising star in the music industry, in the entertainment industry, as a calypso performer. And he had to turn his back on that completely in order to be successful. So understand that in building your platform, your empowerment is going to come from what the brothers are saying, which is in following him. In other words, walk through the doors that he opens. Come
right.
behind him in the areas and venues and the audiences that he attracts. You know, that's why we call him a light-giving son, because he doesn't try to keep from us the product, the effects of the light that he shines. And some of our biggest stars now, even that are working in the enemy's paradigm, started out of the trunks of their cars, or started out just handing out copies
mm-hmm.
of their CDs on the street. You know, and so if you are serious about what you bring to the table, don't have any hesitation about going out there yourself and starting out with people one at a time.
Can I add something, Ms. Ava? That
yes, real quick. Yes, sir.
Something you said, struck me. That is, you know, whenever the minister goes and brings a lot of people to him, then we have to network. The people in that area are going to have to network those people who the minister brought out to that venue, because those are the people you'll first market. But you have to continue to work with them and nurture them to become a market and to keep those people together. We have to begin to network with each other, and Mr. Farrakhan brings together the people who have a like mind. Now, you're going to have to work with those people who have a like mind and try to build a network.
Right. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Absolutely. Thank you for that. But that's important that, you know, when we say follow, you know, we really mean that literally.
Right.
When we say follow the leader, he's, you know, you don't win a war by airstrike alone. You win the war in the air and on the ground. And so
yep.
when the minister comes in, that's like the airstrike.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's dropping things from above. And then we're the ground troops. You come in right behind him. And that's what he bemoans, is the absence of the ground troops coming in behind him. So that's
right.
a beautiful thing when you hear young brothers say, I want to get out there. But, you know, we're running low on time, but I have to take this caller. this is Student Minister Robert out of the Southwest region, our Southwest regional representative, because I want to thank him for last week. And assalamu alaikum, Brother Robert.
Wa alaikum salam, Sister Ava. Sister Doctor, I called in just to hear your wonderful voice and that of Dr. Lizzie, Brother Terrence, and just to listen in on the show. But, you know, I can't help it if she tells me, you want to say something? Of course I want to say something. I want to give you the greetings. I want to thank you for what you're doing and for this conversation that has to take place.
Yes,
I'm grateful to Allah for the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan and for his sacrifice and his work. And you're absolutely true, sister. It's absolutely true that Minister Farrakhan represents real shock and awe when it comes to Satan's world.
Yes.
And what we got to do is let him do the shock and awe and get away from the type of leadership that shucks and jives. You know, mm-hmm. And then when he does the shock and awe, then we have to come in just as the ground troops, and we got to come in waves like the Marines. We got to keep coming. The problem is that there's not going to be no one-punch knockout.
That's
this
right.
is a long and sustained fight. So when
yes.
we have more time, we will come back. We'll have a discussion. I remember you giving a lecture once and talking about our people too much in survival mode.
Mm-hmm.
Survive when you break it down to routines
right.
to live.
Mm-hmm.
But we've got to do more than survive. We've got to sustain. And when you break that down to its root, it means to hold. But even
yeah.
more than sustaining and survive, we've got to be resilient, which if you break that down to root, it means to leap back. Or to take our form, to come back to our form, no matter what cataclysmic events are taking place that has misshapen us. So we've got to be resilient as nature is resilient. Our God is proven through nature, and Dr. Ridgely can bear witness when the Caucasian comes up with insecticides to try to stop certain insects from
yeah.
eating crops. The insects have become so resilient, they've become resistant to that. To those pesticides, and they're still eating up the crops.
That's
so,
right.
and super bugs, for instance, in medicine, when now we've got germs that or organisms that antibiotics can't even overcome anymore. They've become resistant to that. So what we see is that we look at nature and we look at we are the tribe of Shabazz. That means we're unconquerable. So you know we're ones who will never be conquered, and we are a resilient people. And now is the time to get focused in our minds for our sake and for our children and grandchildren's sake, the thought of our own nation. America is in bad shape. When you see what happened in Detroit, Michigan, and you know
yeah,
as a
right.
lawyer, Sister Dr. Ava, that cities are creatures of the state. There's nothing in the Constitution about cities.
Exactly.
So the state really has the power,
it
and
crushed,
they create
right.
cities. And so they're able, through the legislative process, to put anything they want to.
They sure
because
can.
Cities
they
are
did.
Indeed the creatures of the state. So what we're seeing in Detroit, especially in our Mecca, I think it's very important for us to study what has happened there because that is a process that started back in the late 40s and early 50s.
That's true.
The depopulation of our promised land cities where we tried to escape, you know, the Jim Crow of the South and the neo-slavery and sharecropping. Going to Detroit and St. Louis and Philly and New York and these other places. And you look at those places like Gary, Indiana, and other places that black people have taken over because of their population and white flight to the suburbs and how they've been depopulated, defunded through tax and through deindustrialization, what has happened. Our people need a new paradigm. They
yes,
need
sir.
A Muhammad's economic blueprint and what the Honorable Louis Farrakhan has done. And I hope and pray by Allah's grace and permission that we will understand that our macroeconomics is only going to be built on the foundation of our microeconomic discipline of putting aside that 35 cents or more a week so that
That's
we can
right.
put in the National Treasury to build a new reality for ourselves. Well, thank you, sister, and I pray
oh,
a lot that
you.
Blesses you,
thank you
and your family with health and for what you do, and we'll continue to contribute to your program and to the work of the nation in any way that we can. We love you. And we pray Allah that He blesses you and your, and of course my blessed goddaughter, you know,
yes,
and all that they do, and of course your hubby, and
yes,
we thank Allah for what you and the whole crew on Elevated Places Radio is doing for our nation, because this will live through eternity, my sister. I trust and believe that. Trust
pray
and believe.
To Allah. So we love you back because you're doing a great and powerful work. And congratulations, too, on your ranking in the Savior's Day gift as well. It's awesome. Thank you, beloved.
All praises due to Allah.
Yes,
thank
sir.
You.
Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum salam.
Yes, sir. Okay, we've got Sister Lorraine has been holding. Let me get her mic open. Assalamu alaikum, Sister Lorraine.
Assalamu alaikum, Sister. Assalamu alaikum. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am. We can hear you.
Okay. Assalamu alaikum, Sister Dr. Ava Muhammad. It's a great and honor and a pleasure to hear you and on the show and everyone there, and Sister LaShonda, Brother Terrence, and Brother Will Allen. What we're doing in our community, I'm in Wilmington, Delaware, and what we set up a heritage and health festival here in the city of Wilmington, sponsored by my company called Our Time. We're having Brother Ava Muhammad come to our city, and we're going to talk about health and farming and hoop houses. And the reason being is because we have a large community of Mexicans and Hispanics in our city. So we're going to emerge the speaker, which is Ava Muhammad, to speak at the PAL here in Wilmington, Delaware. We have a Facebook page. It's called Heritage and Health, and anybody can click on and share and get the rest of the information. But I want to say one thing, Sister Ava, Dr. Ava Muhammad, is the fact that we have to get out there to our people. We can no longer sit in our mosques and our churches. And I think it was Brother Will Allen talked about the farming and about how people to get this distribution out to our people. Well, we need to find out more information on how we could do that as a whole.
Right. Yes, ma'am. I appreciate that so much. Praise to Allah. Thank you.
You know, Ms. Ava, it's really like the people are telling us that we need to have a Ministry of Agriculture separate call or log talk. We're working on that.
Right.
Kind of help us because it seems like the people are forcing us to give more time to that. So we are working on that.
That's
so
right.
Have an open mic and answer questions and give some guidance in terms of this whole thing of food and agriculture. So we're working on that with your help.
It's the number one critical issue right now. We are being killed through the food. I was just listening to a woman by the name of Mika, who is a co-host on the Morning Joe on MSNBC, a political show, and she just wrote a book on food and obesity. And, you know, Mayor Bloomberg in New York tried to put a limit on these gigantic sodas that they sell with the high fructose corn syrup. You know, you can get not just 20-ounce, but 44-ounce, 72-ounce drink. And the courts overruled the city.
Right.
But what she was arguing is that the pendulum has swung the other direction. You know, 40 years ago, people died of starvation. There are more people now dying from obesity than from starvation.
Wow. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, and I mean, definitely, yours truly got to get back on this thing because the effects of obesity. See, the diabetes, the heart attacks, the high blood pressure, the cancer, and on and on and on. Knee replacements, hip replacements.
Yes.
Being in wheelchairs. You know, people are getting so big now. They have to, they're showing these programs on reality TV where they got to break open walls in a house and use a crane to lift a man because he's 900 pounds. This is ridiculous.
Right.
But they're killing us through the food.
They're killing us. I mean, it's just obvious that something is wrong. We know that we see an animal that's dead and it's swollen up. We know that the animal is poisoned. You know, so we're being poisoned. We're being slowly
poisoned,
and we're loving it.
Waste. That's
right. And we're going to have to break away and give some examples. So we, the people have turned. I'm finding in the nation so many young people now want to go into agriculture due to the call of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, and so many older people are going back to the land. They're trying to go back to their parents who own land and try to say that land is being lost through the higher property. So we are moving now. We are moving, but we're going to have to move faster.
That's
the
problems
are getting greater.
Yes, sir. All right, we got Brother James has been holding for a while. And let me get his mic open because we're down to 5 minutes. Brother James, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. I just wanted to hear your view on the Pope and the because me within myself, I don't feel like he just resigned on his own. And because that happened, if you notice, right after the Savior's Day address, that he resigned.
Yes,
from being
sir.
Pope. And there's something there that I'm.
Oh, there
I
is.
Just,
absolutely.
You know
real mm-hmm. real quick. I appreciate you asking the question. My husband and I were talking. He feels that you know all of this sex scandal, molesting
mm-hmm.
children. These are predators. They're rapists.
Right.
And we're not talking about isolated incidents of this. We're talking
mm-hmm.
about complete saturation. And so there's no way this doesn't lead all the way up to the top.
Mm-hmm.
And he feels that something has been discovered about this man or somebody's threatening to expose something, you know,
mm-hmm.
because the you're saying, well, I'm too old. I don't feel energy. You know, with all of this Skype and everything that's available, you know, the
right.
proper thing to say is I'm not going to travel as much as
right.
I did. Okay?
Right.
You know, like Master Farah Muhammad said, you stay on your post till you die. You're supposed to be God's
right.
man. You know, you go out there. You're out there till you drop dead. So I never heard of a pope resigning. You know, so there is something he's trying to get out of the way of, you know,
exactly.
and somebody said to me jokingly the other day, but not jokingly, that wouldn't it be amazing if the doors opened and Minister Farrakhan stepped out, you know, when they announced the new spiritual leader, because that's really who it is.
Well, you know, he is really the one that represents Peter, represents the Christ on earth, so that really is his seat.
It is.
Right.
And maybe
so, you know.
Maybe old boy had enough sense to get out of it, but I I don't believe for a minute it's age, because the man they just put in there is 76.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. And didn't lightning strike the Vatican, too?
Yes, it did. Yes,
okay.
sir, it did.
Okay.
but yeah, I think Benedict is, as they say, getting out of Dodge.
Yeah.
And then, like Brother Terrence said, you know, I knew they were lying when they said he was Latin. You know, we got the first Latin American, and of course they just use whatever they want. But now it comes out, you know, he's Italian. And Argentina is whiter. You know, if
yeah.
you know anything about Argentina, it is more white than
yep.
anything in Europe. Okay,
yep.
it's. I mean, you know, you think about Argentina, you it conjures up these images of brown people, and it's just nothing could be further from the truth.
No, they killed and run all them people out. The white folks and took over Argentina.
Totally.
Totally.
Mm. Well, and mostly Jews.
Yep.
Buenos Aires, you know. Okay,
right.
All right, yeah.
Yeah, right.
So, Brother James, thank you for raising that. But, yeah, we're all watching this very closely, and I can't wait to hear the minister's view on it, because I don't accept. You just don't
mm-hmm.
resign from being God's vicegerent, okay?
No way.
If you really are that.
If you really are, exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes,
well, thank
you
sister,
so much
for your input, and may you keep working hard for the minister and for the nation and for the people in general. God bless you, and y'all have a great day.
You too, beloved. Thank you. And I want to thank, of course, Sister Captain LaShonda, Student Captain, Regional Student Captain LaShonda Muhammad, And I want to thank the Elevated Places A team. They're just so phenomenal. Sister Rona Muhammad, Sister LaDonna Muhammad, Brother Bobby Muhammad, and of course, Dr. Ridgely, and without question, my co-host, Brother Terrence Muhammad. As you said, Dr. Ridgely, we got to keep moving, but we got to move more quickly. And the minister is an example of the frequency.
Thank you for listening to and participating in Elevated Places with Dr. Ava Muhammad. Be sure to join us right here every Thursday at blogtalkradio.com/elevatedplaces. If you enjoyed our show today, please bookmark Elevated Places as one of your favorites. And remember, we are all preparing for a brand new season.